Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
There's been an increase in cyber stalking. According to a survey in the UK, it's jumped 70% since 2012. But what actually constitutes cyber stalking? What is it? Catherine O'Sullivan is a senior lecturer in law at UCC. How do you define cyber stalking, Catherine?
Well, cyber stalking is just a form of stalking. It is behaviour that is fixed, obsessive, unwanted and repeated. So it's just the form that the stalking is taken. And we find that stalking can, you know, be across a number of different formats. It can be the more traditional understanding of stalking, which is the physical form where someone is following you, or it could be entirely online, or it could be a mix of the two. So if any behaviour is being done to you, which is fixed, obsessive, unwanted and repeated, then it's stalking.
What if you don't know about it? You know, if it's...
It's still a crime, but only when you become aware of it. Because stalking in Ireland is defined not just on the basis of the wrongfulness of the perpetrator's behaviours, but these behaviours must also have specified impacts on the victim. But what a really good inclusion in the recent introduction of stalking offence is that if you become aware of the behaviour afterwards, you are now, and that behaviour, now that awareness causes one of these results, well then you have been stalked or harassed, depending on the offence that is charged.
Do you think cyber stalking has been normalised?
Yes, unfortunately. Well, I think stalking has generally been normalised, often romanticised. Behaviours that are clearly harmful are often presented as being romantic gestures, which they are not. And I think cyber stalking is regarded as being less serious even than other forms of stalking. Studies, countless studies, show this up, that people do not regard cyber stalking as being as harmful to victims as physical forms of stalking. But yet the results show otherwise, that victims of stalking, whatever form it takes, are often really significantly harmed psychologically, emotionally, financially, by the behaviours that are done to them.
Eve McDowell is with us as well. Catherine, Eve is the co-founder of Stalking Ireland. You've had some experience of this.
Mine was an in-person case, which I've discussed a couple of times over the years, but I'm just kind of focusing on these figures that have come out today, which aren't really surprising, unfortunately. I think Catherine gave a good all-rounded discussion on it there. And with the rise of different forms of technology, different apps, things like AirTags, it's becoming a lot easier for people to cyberstalk and a lot more difficult for people to identify what that might actually look like. You'll often hear, you know, I even hear my friends say it, and I used to say it all the time, when you were looking at someone's social media account, you'd say, oh yeah, I was stalking their social media account. And then we kind of lose the severity when we're using this language. It takes away from the severity of what's actually happening and makes people confused on what actually constitutes cyberstalking.
Well, that's what I was thinking, you know, when we were talking about this a little earlier in the office today among ourselves, and you know, maybe if people are looking people up online for whatever their reason, you know, or whatever their motive, and if the other person doesn't know about it, like, you do hear the term stalking thrown about an awful lot more now, and maybe where it's not warranted.
It's absolutely not warranted. And then it makes people who are being cyberstalked, you know, they might find it harder to identify with, or when they tell people, people might not realise how serious it actually is. You know, just the language really undermines what people are going through and makes it confusing. And, you know, as I said, I used to use that word myself. It wasn't until I was stalked that I started thinking, oh, hold on a second, this doesn't actually feel right. So I suppose that it's time to look at what cyberstalking actually is and use the correct terms around it and realise how harmful that can be for the people that are experiencing it.
Do you think maybe we just don't really understand the definition of cyberstalking then?
Yeah, quite possibly. When myself and the co-founder of Stalking Ireland, Una Ring, came out and first started campaigning for stalking legislation, a lot of people didn't know how to define stalking. When I was being stalked, I didn't know how to define stalking. A lot of guards even, that haven't received training on it yet, that still don't know how to identify it, which is why it's really, really important now we have the legislation implemented, it's really important that we get an awareness campaign from the Department of Justice so that on a societal level, you know, it's one thing to have the legislation, but society needs to understand what stalking might look like, whether that's online or in person, because, you know, the two can go hand in hand. And as Catherine was saying, just because it's online doesn't mean that it's detrimental to a person's well-being.
Yeah, you know, I know you've shared your own personal story with us, Eve, you know, previously here on News Talk, and some listeners might be aware of it. But can you maybe just explain to listeners today, you know, the impact that it can have on you and Una and others that you mentioned that are part of the Stalking Ireland group?
Yeah, well, Catherine, who's on air, and myself and Una and another researcher looked at Irish people's experiences of stalking, and what we found were really high levels of post-traumatic stress disorder, a lot of sleep disturbances, a lot of people having to change their routes to and from work, drop out of social events. People might start withdrawing from friends and family and meeting new people. It really does impact your trust of the world and the trust of the people around you. And this can go on for years as well. Even, you know, if it makes it to court, you're having to be faced with that person every day you walk into the courtroom. Then after that, you're waiting for release dates. And there's still very little information that you can get once someone is released. So it is really a lifelong thing when you've experienced someone having that intensity of obsession towards you. You never know whether that's just gone away or they're going to show up again. So yeah, it is lifelong impact.
And I suppose typically people think of, you know, your experience of the sort of the physical stalking, or, you know, somebody retracing your steps or that sort of thing. But like, I mean, everything has moved on between iPads and phone and social media accounts, that there's so many more opportunities to stalk people now that, like, we really probably do need some kind of an awareness campaign to inform people about the other ways you could potentially be stalked.
Yes, absolutely. And there's ways that people can install spyware on your devices without you knowing, especially people that might be in a relationship that's going downhill, or an ex-partner. And people might not even be aware these apps are on their phones. That's a crucial point as to why we need an information campaign. As technology keeps developing, unfortunately, more ways to perpetrate domestic, sexual and gender-based violence keep appearing, and it's getting hard to keep up with. You know, even people making fake accounts of someone they might be cyber stalking, pretending to be them. Mm. It's all different forms of harassment, sexual violence and gender-based violence that are interlinking here. So it's really, really crucial that we start catching up with the times and actually addressing it, because as young people are getting older, there's more and more apps that they're using. Yeah. I feel completely out of touch with some of the apps that younger teenagers are using now. It just keeps evolving so fast, so we need to try and catch up with the time.
It's excessive, it's unwanted texts, messages, phone calls, Catherine?
Yes, and I think Eve there makes a good point. One of the findings in the article, the British Criminology article, was that, you know, they were asked whether they thought what they experienced was a crime or not. And it was found that younger people, those aged 16 to 24, were least likely to recognise that what happened to them was a crime. So this tells us that there is a really pressing need for an information campaign, an awareness-raising campaign. Because if you don't recognise that what has been done to you is a crime, you're less likely to seek help, and therefore you are more likely to prolong negative experiences, and the behaviour can become more embedded and cause more harm to you. But also one of the interesting things that the article highlighted was the importance of training. And this is something that we highlighted in our report as well, you know, sometimes the police give the wrong advice. They can be quite dismissive of cyber stalking as compared to other forms of stalking. And for example, will sometimes tell the person who is being stalked to block their stalker, which is actually quite a dangerous thing to do. It can actually lead to an escalation in the stalking behaviours. Or they might just tell them to delete social media, which is, again, you know, misplacing the focus here. We all use social media. We social media is integral now, not just to our personal lives, but also to our work lives. So you were basically telling the victim of a crime to isolate themselves, to cut themselves off from connections.
Change their behaviour, basically.
That are positive. It's
Catherine O'Sullivan, Senior Lecturer in Law at UCC, and Eve McDowell, who's the co-founder of Stalking Ireland. Thanks a million to you both for joining us here today on Lunchtime Live, talking about the cyber stalking report, a 70% jump since 2012, and it's just really interesting. I'm sure probably for a lot of you today it's quite actually informative to find out what is cyber stalking. The email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.